Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. My name's Aaron Ellis, and today I want to talk about what could be the biggest fitness breakthrough of the century. So I want to share with you an amazing recent discovery by a gentleman named Brad Kearns. So Brad is an American author, podcast host, professional speed golfer, and former triathlete. He performed on the international triathlon circuit from 1986 to 1985, and he won 31 events worldwide. So Brad started to develop an increasing passion for cold therapy over the recent years. So he started with cold showers, and then he went to a livestock tank, which was followed by frequent ice bag purchases to his local shop, and then he eventually reached the highest level of sophistication with his practice, a chest freezer. A 15 cubic foot freezer turned on for an hour a day, which keeps the water a cool 1 to 3 degrees Celsius. Now, recently he's posted that he's been doing a devoted session of cold exposure, followed immediately by an aerobic jog to warm, followed by all-out sprints. So here's what he's experienced, and he says that he's carefully tested this process over 20 more times to date. So this is really, really interesting stuff. So his rewarming jog feels effortless. His heart rate is approximately 10 beats lower than normal run at the same pace. And then he's buoyed by the scientifically validated 200 to 300% norepinephrine boost that lasts for about an hour after cold exposure. And then he blasts a fantastic sprint workout with less stress, less inflammation, better focus, more explosiveness, and faster recovery. So an important point to make here is that Brad's fully warmed up from a minimum of a 30-minute rewarming jog. And he also primes up with extensive preparatory drills and warm-ups for sprints before launching into all-out sprints. Now, I've done some more research from Dr. Rhonda Patrick, who published an excellent article on cold exposure. And in the report, she details how even brief exposure of 20 seconds at 4.4 degrees Celsius to the extreme cold delivers a 200 to 300% boost in norepinephrine, and that lasts for up to an hour. So, being both a hormone and a neurotransmitter, norepinephrine boosts the sympathetic nervous system function both in your brain and your body. So you end up experiencing a noticeable boost in vigilance, focus, attention, mood, along with improved oxygen delivery, blood circulation, antioxidant function, mitochondrial biogenesis, and reduced perceived exertion, pain, and inflammation. So we've got to ask ourselves, could this be the next big thing to hit the fitness community? We have cold exposure, we warm up with a jog, and then we finish with sprints. We're getting less exertion, we're placing less stress on the body, and we're getting massive results. So we'll have to wait and see, but I suggest you try Brad's strategy and see how you go. So in this next part of the podcast, I want to talk about cold shock, muscle mass, performance, and recovery. And when it comes to cold exposure in the context of exercise, there are two important factors to look at. So one is the type of exercise being done, and also the timing of the cold stress in relation to the exercise. So first we'll have a talk about timing. So immediately after exercise activity, there's a spike in the production of the pro-inflammatory cytokines. And these are molecules that activate the immune cells and are involved primarily, or more importantly, in tissue repair. There's also the production of reactive oxygen species and inflammation that occurs immediately after exercise, and these are actually necessary to activate genetic pathways that contribute to creating more mitochondria or mitochondrial biogenesis, and they also play a role in muscle hypertrophy. There's also macrophages, which are a type of immune cell that can be activated in response to exercise-induced inflammation. And these produce high levels of anabolic hormones such as IGF-1 in response to even the slightest injury of muscle tissue. So there's been some experimental evidence that indicates that these specific immune cells are also likely involved in satellite cell migration. So you're probably asking, what are satellite cells? Satellite cells are a type of muscle stem cell that serves as a precursor to actual muscle cells. And satellite cells' numbers are actually associated very closely with the amount of actual hypertrophy that results from your strength training. It's got a car zooming past. So let's get back to the exercise-induced inflammatory response. So there's an anti-inflammatory response to this inflammation, and that begins to peak about 1 hour after exercise. And at this point, some of the anabolic hormones such as IGF-1 that are increased with the immune activation also seem to return to pre-exercise levels around 1 hour post-exercise. So these anti-inflammatory cytokines help keep our immune system from going overboard. So they modulate the activity of the immune cells, preventing them from causing any excess tissue damage. So hopefully you can see where I'm going here. So in the cases where there's cryotherapy or cold water immersion, or perhaps even the use of ice packs immediately after training, it may actually be undermining certain beneficial effects that are actually coming from having a small dose of inflammation. In fact, there's actually been some studies that seem to hint at that, and I'll look at that in a second. But the main thing to remember for now is that peak anti-inflammatory response occurs 1 hour after activity, and that some inflammation and immune activation before that point is probably a good thing. So let's have a talk about the variety of exercise. So the other factor that may influence the outcome of studies looking for the effect of cryotherapy or cold water immersion on athletic performance and recovery is the type of activity we're actually trying to optimise. So exercise inflicts stress upon the body, and in response the body activates many genes and pathways that build resilience and resistance to that stress. And what's important to realise is that the type of exercise actually determines the characteristics of the adaptation that occurs, or the stress. So for example, the stress may be predominantly aerobic, such as endurance training. It may be mechanical, such as resistance training, or a mixture of both becoming plyometric. So activities are more characteristically aerobic, place a greater demand on the cells to be able to utilize oxygen for the purpose of energy production. So in other words, aerobic activities have a greater need of supporting mitochondria. So depending on the nature of the exercise, endurance versus resistance, and the time of the cold exposure, regarding pre-exercise or immediately after exercise or later, there may be some very different and somewhat opposing outcomes. So I believe that these variables can help explain some of the conflicting evidence regarding the benefits of cold exposure in the context of exercise performance that have shown up in the scientific literature and have been discussed in the media. But what does this actual literature say about the cold shock and exercise performance? Well, strength training whole body cryotherapy at minus 140 to 195 degrees centigrade, 1 hour after plyometric exercise, which is squat jumps and leg curls, showed improvements in a variety of performance measures up to 72 hours after the treatment. So these improvements included power at the start of the squat jump and the squat jump work up. In addition, pain measures both at rest and the next squat jumping session were also improved. So the next question is, what happens if cold exposure occurs immediately after resistance training during the peak of the pro-inflammatory process? So one study has shown that it may actually blunt some of our long-term muscle hypertrophy benefits, at least if you're doing cold water immersion. So men that performed leg presses and squat jumps twice a week and then immediately engaged in 10 minutes of cold water immersion, in other words, at the point of peak inflammation, they only had 1/3 of the increases in muscle mass in their quadriceps after 10 weeks compared with those who did no cold water immersion after training. In addition, after the 10 weeks of training, muscle strength was significantly lower compared to the controlled group, and they showed smaller increases in type 2 muscle fibers, and these are required for very short duration, high intensity bursts of power. And all of this coincided with a reduction in biomarkers that are usually associated with hypertrophy, including the activation of satellite cells, which we talked about earlier. So basically, if you're looking to make an argument that cold stress, especially cold water immersion, you should be avoiding after strength training, then this study mentioned would be holy grail. And it's not just because of the compelling results that the author demonstrated, but also they cited other studies that showed similar results with cold water exposure and hypertrophy, including some that employed clever investigative methods like having participants do hamstring curls but only immersing one leg in cold water and then going on to the measure in hypertrophy between legs afterwards. However, in every single case, both in this study and the similar ones cited, there is one singular unifying theme. The method of cooling, whether we're talking about cold water immersion, icing or otherwise, was generally applied immediately after training. So that leaves us with a few questions, but the most important one is this. Would we still see the blunted or reduced hypertrophy training if cold water immersion was done literally at any point other than immediately after the strength training? I mean, I don't know the answer definitively because no one has investigated this yet, but it's an area I hope future studies will start to illuminate it for us, especially in light of the fact that the occasional cold stress seems to have the possibility of conferring benefits in many other respects. So the fact that the first hour after exercise in particular stands out as an important anabolic window, at least in terms of the endocrine response. And it may also be especially meaningful in the context of cold water exposure and strength training. So for now, it would seem extremely smart in the context of strength training to exercise in caution, and just especially when you time any of the various cold modalities. So whether you're doing cryotherapy, cold water immersion, or even cold packs, it's probably best to wait that 1 hour after the natural flow of pro-inflammatory cytokines have died down, and then we can still get the response. So I hope this has been interesting for you. Thank you for listening. The websites are completestrength.net and aaronellisfitness.com. If you're not part of the tribe, go there now and join the tribe. It's facebook.com/completestrengthtribe. Talk to you guys soon.
Hey, you're still here. Awesome. For those guys that are members of the tribe, I'm going to put a PDF link to this same podcast of all the information in it. Go there now. Look forward to seeing you there.